What happy teachers do, the three-step self-care system to support you inside and outside the classroom, written and read by Michelle Orton. Dedication for Simon, Abby and Jacob. Introduction. Quote, taking care of our physical and emotional health and wellness never ends. We're not here to find the finish line, we're here to enjoy the journey. By Jessica Ortner. I got into teaching, like many, because I wanted to make a difference and help a child to grow not just academically but as a whole person. In 1998, I started my career teaching seven-year-olds in a school with three forms in each year. It was in Hounslow, West London, and my classroom was next to a train line and under a flight path to Heathrow Airport. I remember that I had to pause during teaching when the noise of trains and planes was too loud for the children to hear what I was saying. We were fortunate to be close to places of worship for several faiths, and visits and visitors enriched our curriculum. I have fond memories of parties at the end of term when we shared food from many cultures that made up our school, such as freshly cooked samosas. There was a true sense of community, and I was well supported by two experienced colleagues who embraced my enthusiasm and nurtured me when I wasn't sure of something. I feel very lucky to have had them as guides at the start of my career. But despite their support, I spent much of my early career running on nervous energy. I was always in a rush, with my mind working overtime, thinking about all the things I needed to do. This rushing around was made worse because I was always worrying about something. I was having so many exaggerated thoughts that I didn't recognise or acknowledge that I was making myself ill. My third year of teaching, my husband and I moved, and we started new jobs. I worked at a junior school with three forms per year, teaching year six, 11-year-olds. At the time, the school set children into groups for ability for maths and English. I can still remember, over 20 years later, the worried thoughts that I had at the time. I felt like an imposter. I could not just look at a piece of work and assess the level of it, which seemed possible for my colleagues. I remember one incident in particular when I needed to find a suitable text for English to teach over 6 weeks. Although a few texts were suggested to me, I did not know any of them. I remember taking these texts home in the first week of term and crying, not knowing where to start. I could not read three different 200-page books within a week, decide which one to use, then do all my planning. In those days, we still planned using books, because the internet was not available to search for options, look at reviews and see what others were planning. I felt like a fraud, that I was not fit to teach, that I would be letting down the children in my class. The exaggerated thoughts came thick and fast, and they were on a constant loop in my head. I felt constantly lost and out of my depth. The niggling thoughts kept coming. That I didn't know enough, that I wasn't experienced enough, that I'd let my school down, that they would wonder why they had employed me. The thoughts were crippling. I felt like a nuisance when, in the end, I went to the head of year for support. She helped me select one text to teach the class and reeled off some things that she had taught related to the text in the past. It then felt more manageable to be able to read and plan from one book. My anxious thoughts had stopped me from being able to logically think through a problem to a decision. I needed the support to know the choice I'd made would be okay. The ripple effect. Over the years, I learned how important it was to look after yourself properly and seek support when you need it if you want to be a great teacher. Now, as an assistant head teacher, it's my job to support my colleagues. I'm a qualified mindfulness teacher and tapping practitioner. I'll explain what that means later on. And I lead wellbeing sessions for staff in my school and in other schools locally, including working with trainee teachers as part of their initial training. I have also worked with groups of children across our school to help them develop strategies for self-regulation and to attain a state of relaxed alertness. We know that when staff and pupils have wellbeing support strategies, then pupils are more likely to engage in their best learning. It helps that for the past 10 years I've worked in a school that is committed to pupil and staff wellbeing. It's a small state school in Essex, England, where I've taught across the primary phase with 4 to 11-year-olds. We have a mixed economic catchment of pupils, but the ethos and sense of community are something that makes the school unique. Positive wellbeing for staff, pupils and their families is a driving factor to our school because we know that we have the biggest impact on the experience we provide. Our school pioneered an ongoing project called Agents of Change, with the aim of helping pupils realise that small acts of kindness, positivity and action can make a difference. These acts may have a ripple effect that help others to make a difference too. Frequently, this effect shines through and the pupils demonstrate what it means to be part of this community. As part of our Agents of Change project, we encourage our pupils to complete tasks that help them recognise they can improve things for others and create what they hope to see in the world. Some of the tasks, titled Be Still and Eat, Sleep, Move, are about looking after their own well-being, and they help our pupils recognise the importance of self-care. We have regular assemblies for the whole school, usually led by a senior member of staff. Sometimes a small group of children will ask to lead an assembly, and one of these was particularly heartwarming. Two pupils aged 10 who had both led an assembly before invited a 7-year-old boy to join them. The three of them had planned an interactive assembly on how to save the planet. They showed posters they had created, shared suggestions, and asked the audience to share some of their ideas. What made the assembly stand out in my mind was how they answered our head teacher, who asked the older two pupils why they had chosen to lead an assembly. One pupil who needs support with his learning explained how he finds it hard to say what he wants to because he struggles with his speech. When he was younger, he helped his sister present assemblies and he found it helped him feel more confident about speaking. Many of the staff became choked up as they knew how hard learning and speaking could be for that pupil. The other older child shared how she sometimes finds it hard to come to school, but presenting assembly makes her feel happy and proud of herself. The youngest child was asked how he felt doing his first assembly. He replied that he felt nervous, but he was glad that he had done it. The older children then offered to help anyone else who wanted help deliver an assembly and encouraged pupils to find them on the playground at lunchtime. Our pupils demonstrated to us how to be the best version of ourselves, how to push past things that seem daunting and be proud of ourselves for moving out of our comfort zone. One small ripple that fills my heart with joy began during an assembly when the school learned that I was writing a book to support teachers. I have loved writing this book. I enjoy the creativity of the process. The mother of one of the pupils then told me that since the assembly, her child had been inspired to write his own book, so he can be an author too. Hearing that made my day. In teaching, we do not always get to see the small ripples that we help to create. But when we do, it reinforces that teaching really is one of the best jobs. What small ripples might you have started? How can actions that support your well-being help someone else? I want to be an agent of change for education, to make a positive difference to teacher well-being. Because when a teacher has established good well-being, it ripples out to the class they teach and the colleagues that they work alongside. Why now? A few years ago, I started to read books by The Art of Brilliance, a company led by Andy Cope that supports schools with positive psychology, and watched online sessions that they led on being your best self by considering your why, your purpose in life. I considered my why for some time before settling on feeling safe, calm, and energized, and helping others to feel the same way. Another task was to think about your huge, unbelievable, gigantic goal, or hug, and the steps to achieve it. My hug was to help others with their well-being in schools. At the time, I had no idea how I could possibly achieve that. I'd previously qualified as a tapping practitioner and had seen the benefits. I set some smaller goals to expand my tapping clients and to train to teach mindfulness. Just over 18 months later, I was a qualified mindfulness teacher for adults and children. Fast forward to summer 2022, and I was on holiday reading Julia Cameron's book, The Artist's Way, which invites the reader to complete certain tasks each week and daily morning pages, similar to a journal. On the last night of our holiday, I could not sleep because I had so many ideas racing through my mind about how I could write a book to help teachers to reduce stress and have strategies to support their well-being. My mind was buzzing and I stayed up all night writing down ideas. When we arrived home, I read the next chapter of The Artist's Way, which encourages readers to take opportunities as they present themselves. Then I opened my emails to find two messages. One from EFT International, a tapping organisation, sharing information about getting tapping into education, something that I'm passionate about. The other email from Hay House, advertising their writer's workshop in Edinburgh, Scotland. It felt like a sign of something I should explore. The workshop was in the second week of the school year, which didn't seem ideal timing, but my husband saw how much I was enjoying writing and encouraged me to buy a ticket and book a flight. I arrived at the Edinburgh venue not knowing anyone. It didn't matter, as I found I was soon speaking to people with a shared purpose of developing ideas into books. The energy in the hall of 200 participants was electrifying. I found myself sitting with people who had travelled from all over the world to attend the workshop. Many people had already written their books, had previous books published, or had self-published, whereas I had only written a few thousand words. I learned so much from the workshop and left feeling invigorated and motivated. At the end of the workshop, we were encouraged to submit our book proposal to Hay House, and they would either offer feedback about how to develop our book or they would publish it. I entered the
Sample complete. Ready to continue?